the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman bringing you, once again, the Approaching the Natural podcast. You will fit into one of two categories, welcome and welcome back. Okay, if you're just joining me for the first time, glad you're here. And if you're joining me once again, you know how I roll here. So good, let's buckle in, get this going. As I did mention last week, and you should be aware that this is the 103rd episode, and iTunes only carries the most recent 50. If you're interested in listening to earlier ones, which I know I get emails from people and they want to go back even earlier, and that's great. And you should. But you can do that on my website, sidgarzahillman.com. While on that subject, you can also put your email in there and get a first chapter for free of my book, Approaching the Natural, a Health Manifesto. You can also read about me as a private health coach and a little bit about my system and how I work, what my approach is, and also buy some Approaching the Natural products that are just, for fun, podcast stuff. Got it. Good. Right. If you're just joining me, you're just like, whoa, he just went right into the cell. Sorry about that. Really, what I wanted to talk about was first is that this podcast is my weekly podcast. 103 weeks in a row, you guys. Friday will mark, it doesn't matter because you're not listening to this necessarily in any straight order. But Friday, September 11th, 2015, will be my actual 2-year anniversary. So this is, in a sense, my 2-year anniversary episode, kind of. But kind of cool. So that's September 11th, 2015. And so that's pretty cool. But I do bring you this podcast every week, and it is my approach, how I work, how to achieve greater health and happiness in the modern world. And as I can't stress enough, it's about the modern world. It's not trying to change the modern world, because maybe we could change it. That's just not my bag. That's not my goal isn't how do we change the modern world to make it more natural. My goal in life is to help you be more natural in the context of this modern world. So I'm not telling you to change it. I'm telling you how to live better in it or how to do that yourself, really. Now, wink, wink. Is a side effect of more people living better in the modern world changing the modern? Will it change the modern world? Yeah, there's a better chance of that happening. Can't guarantee it. It's a too gargantuan task even for me to consider or think about. Like my small steps approach, I am about one person by one person by one person, bringing you guys into a healthier, happier life. That's really the deal. If that has a secondary effect of improving the world or even improving your world, meaning the smaller sort of circle that surrounds you of family and friends and coworkers and jobs and whoever else you interact with, if that improves that by you doing what you do better, then fantastic. And by the way, it does do that. But don't make it your goal. Don't make it your goal. I talk about in the book, holistic self-interest. Okay, the better you get at treating yourself well, the better you get at believing that you're somebody who is worth treating well, that bleeds all over the place in a good way. Not like, now I'm cut. No, it's like it affects everybody. Okay, good. I tried to go with a metaphor, blood metaphor. Not the best chosen metaphor. I could have gone better with that. Okay? It spreads single malt scotch to the world. Now that was a metaphor. Single malt scotch, right? The metaphor for good cheer, for making people have hangover. Wait a second. Damn it. Not a good metaphor. I should have written down my metaphor, my metaphor goals for this week's episode. Ways that people support this podcast and ways that I appreciate people supporting this podcast. You can donate to this podcast. Go to sidgarzahillman.com and hit the donate button. Very easy to do. You could even set up a monthly thing like $5 a month. It would be amazing. Be awesome. You can throw me down an iTunes review. You can tell a friend about it. You can obviously buy the podcast stuff on my website. Okay, good. Let's move on. I run the Stanford Inns Wellness Center, stanfordinn.com, and I'm about to set the dates for 2016's retreats. I'm getting ahead of that this year, so I will have those dates pretty soon, and I'll give you guys links to all those in case you want to come visit me. Very good blog post. A listener, I mentioned him in the last week, I think Neil from Canada. I just say Neil from Canada now. I think his last name is from Canada. It's all one word. He has a blog called livenaked.ca. Go read that. He did a good piece on his run with me, and we had a really good time. And also, he did a good piece on the Stanford. Anyway, he's a good blog, and he's a cool dude, and he knows what he's doing. Okay? His whole family's awesome. Okay? Good. I will be in Portland, November 14th and 15th, Portland, Oregon, that is, and not Maine. Not Maine, Portland, Oregon. And then I'll be in Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd of next year. Just getting ahead of that because I don't know when you're going to listen to this episode. Okay, I got to kind of keep beyond things. Got some good feedback from my new video on the Garza Hillman race day. But got some mushroom coffee going on. I don't even know why I mention what I drink every week except for that I pause to take a sip. So I don't want you guys going, well, now what is he doing? Why isn't he talking? So then I just go, here's what I did. Okay. Now, aside from my YouTube thing, which I totally think you should subscribe to my YouTube channel, because why wouldn't you? It doesn't cost anything, and you get a little reminder of when I post new videos. It's all good, positive stuff, right? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Strava. Okay, good. All good. Great. Do all that stuff. That's how we keep in contact. That's how you stay in the game. That's how you just make this part of your life, and you're doing these. Like, I'm a small stepper is what I do. It's the things that I do every day. I did a new blog post, which I wanted to touch on a little bit. I urge you to go read that blog post, but in case people don't read the blog post, which some people don't, I wanted to mention a little bit about it here. It's about discomfort, which I've mentioned in the podcast many a time, and essentially it's about intentional discomfort. It's about, look, I'm a little sensitive about this whole thing because what is making people or preventing people, I'll put it that way, from making change is perceived discomfort, is like, I don't want to give up cheese. I could never give up cheese. What they're talking about, and I always mention that because that is the thing I've heard more than any. I've been doing this 6 years, almost 7 years. More than anything else, that's the one thing I've heard. So, of course, I mention that. I could never give up cheese, right? Because that's real. I've heard that. And also the whole protein nuttiness and all that kind of stuff. Okay, so good. Back to discomfort. It's the perceived discomfort of change. It's the perceived discomfort, even more than change, of that it's going to be a miserable existence to do the things that we need to do to improve our lives. Kind of weird because we sort of get that it would improve our lives, but we kind of can't wrap our brains around that it might even be enjoyable and a win-win all the way around. We kind of go, well, I would do it to improve my life, but it's going to taste crappy. But the thing is what I want to get down to is what we're really talking about here is improving your life, is feeling better. And it's way beyond the weight loss that we might go think of, you know, not eating cheese, for instance. We might think, okay, well, I'm going to want to get rid of that fat around my midsection. Stress response, it can be from a whole bunch of stuff. But let's just say it's cheese, because yes, that's going to be one of the bigger factors, right? Something that junky that you eat every day. Okay, good. So the idea is that you want to give that, you think I should give up cheese, or I could never give up cheese, or but whatever, but you want to improve your life. Understand that really what you're going for isn't the fat around your midsection, because giving up cheese in that moment may not be that much better than having fat around your midsection. Okay. It is kind of that miserable thing. So it's understand first and foremost that you want to live that. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I just taught somebody a couple weeks ago and they asked me about literally fat around the midsection. And I was like, okay, but why do you want to lose fat around your midsection? Well, because I want to be thinner. Okay, but why do you want to be thinner? Well, because I just don't like looking this way. Okay, why don't you like looking? Because I don't feel good looking this way. Boom. You want to feel better. I mean, this is what I do with people. I want to get you to, what are we really talking about here? Now, once you get that going and understand really what your goals are, I want to get up tomorrow and I want to feel good. I want to feel confident. I want to feel strong. There's a certain amount of discomfort that comes with that trek. I called it a few episodes ago, whatever, I was talking about stress. It's like moderate stress versus acute heavy-duty stress. Like moderate stress is how we grow. It is how we adapt to new things. It is how we build muscle, in fact, when we're in the gym. It's how we build endurance is by putting ourselves in mild discomfort. When we go into heavy duty discomfort, the body shuts down. It goes, okay, this is too much for me. I'm overloaded and I'm not doing anything. I'm not gonna put on muscle. I'm not gonna build endurance. I'm gonna keep you right at where you are because I can't go farther than that. It's too much. You've put too much on me. So the discomfort idea that I propose is first that it's part of growth. But second of all, it's more effective when it's intentional. And this is what I talked about in the blog post, so read it. But it's intentional discomfort. It's saying, okay, I get that it's part of growth. I get that it's part of what it's going to be for me to improve my life. I get that it's going to be part of the struggle, but the payoff I'm clear about now because I want to live better than I'm living now. And understand, like I've said before 1,000 times, you may not want to live better. In this conversation you have with yourself, you might realize, I'm actually good. I don't need to live better. I'm fine. Fine. In which case, fantastic. I mean, I'm not joking when I say fantastic. That's the best thing ever. I had a client one time where I was just like, you know, you're kind of doing all right here. You know, like we can talk about ways to improve, I guess. But at the same time, you're kind of missing out on what you're doing and how you're living, which is pretty awesome already. So let's not beat this. You know, this subject into the freaking ground. Let's teach you how to maintain the cool things that you're already doing. And that was that person. It was much less about improving a lot and more about awareness of current enjoyment, right? We can definitely be so forward thinking that we're missing out on the stuff that we're doing well. The me of you every day. Well, that was me. 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 Okay. Well, 10 things were you and one was not you, and you're going to go dwell on the not you. Well, I think on the balance, you're kicking ass. If you're just joining me, that's the me, not me game. Okay. So go back. But essentially that's too exhausting. Go back. You got it. Me, not me. Okay. All right. The more things you do, I got to mention it. The more things you do that are you, I'm too exhausted. Okay. Here we go. Moving on. So read that discomfort blog post because it's, I think, you know, it is part and partial to the system that I enact with my private clients, part of this podcast. I'm not going to lie to you. And I think that part of the thing, part of the draw of most quick fixes is the sell that there will be no discomfort, that you can get this, you know, take the pill so that you can lose weight while you sleep. Well, that's fully comfortable. I would love to lose weight while I sleep. It's a wonder why those things aren't working and why we're not all walking around thin, because they don't work. And they might do some sort of short-term thing, but chances are they're not going to be healthy. Chances are they're not going to make you feel better about yourself. 100%, they're not going to give you more self-esteem and self-confidence. That's a fact. Okay? All right. Good. Taxes. Now, you might be wondering why in September Sid would talk about taxes. A little late this year, guys. A little late. Had to file an extension. If there's a resentment and an anger in my life that is sort of chronic, it's that I have to spend any moment of time filing taxes. It's a royal pain in my ass. I think it's horrible that we have to spend any amount of time. And this is not a political thing. It's just like, let's simplify it so that I don't have to waste my Sunday not being with my kids. Like, this is literally how I think about things like this. I'm like, this is so crappy that any of us have to spend this much time. Okay. However, I'm a little late, so fine. But I haven't broken any laws, just in case you're wondering. Okay, good. The relief of jumping in. So here's what I mean. For weeks, I've had I'm walked by my pile of stuff that I need to do, receipts that I got to enter and all this kind of crap that is involved in what this is. And I have like multiple things that I don't even like, not, I'm not, I'm definitely not like wealthy, but I have like a little bit of money from residuals from movies that I did 15 years ago. And I get, you know, $50 every 3 months, something like that. So I got to like deal with that with the taxes kind of thing. So it's a little more confusing than maybe some other people do. Good. But I've seen this big pile of stuff and I'm walking by it and I go, oh, I got to do that. And I'm recognizing that thing. And I am still so hyper aware. And that's why, as an aside, this is really a weekly, I mean, I'm glad I do this thing weekly. I'm glad I work with people for a minimum of a month. It can never end. I don't know if this is ever going to end for me. This, the battle of this feeling that I should be doing this, the feeling of being feeling crappy because I have this thing hung over me. This is finals week. This is procrastination in college. This is these severely gargantuan looking or perceived to be this big things hanging over us all the time, these clouds hanging over our heads all the time. I've been doing this a long time, this practice that I'm in. And yet it still occurs on a daily basis. I'm walking by. And I think every time I have that moment of like, I should be doing my taxes, the feeling that I have of that big dark cloud over me is because of the perception I have of what doing taxes is. As soon as I break it down into, okay, let me just do one little thing today, or let me just do 10 minutes worth, the cloud dissipates. I sit down, I got a cup of coffee. It's not as miserable as I thought it was. Again, so much wasted energy. And here on top of all of that, I have this frustration of like, how much longer is this going to keep going on? Where I have that thing, why can't I just go, okay, let me start with 5 minutes per day. I don't know why. I don't know if that's just me, how I'm wired. Can I ever get over this? I don't know. And also, I don't care. At the end of the day, I have a solution, and that is what I did. And when I solve that, I learn. And when I solve that, I feel better. And when I solve that, I decrease overall chronic stress. So I can start trying to ask the questions of when will it go away? Why is it still around? Or I can go, here's a situation. How do I solve it? How do I not feel this black cloud hanging over my head? Well, how do I feel that is I do what I can when I can. In every regard, in every aspect and facet of my life, how do I do the best I can in this situation? How do I act? How do I act? So I did. It's taxes for me that day. It's exercise on another day. It's healthy eating on another day. I don't know. It's for you. It's whatever it is for you. If you have a cloud hanging over your head about what you should be doing, first of all, identify what you think it is you should be doing. What's the size of that thing? Could it be smaller? Probably. Probably. It doesn't mean my overall taxes are an easy 5 minute job. It just means I don't have to do it all at once. And the power I feel from even doing a little bit was great. And I swear to you, I slept better last night. Wow. See the snowball effect of that? So I do a little bit. I sleep better. I'm better rested. Next day, I wake up, got more energy, get more stuff done. I mean, it's a pretty simple equation, you guys. It's a pretty simple equation. We muddle it with all this kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is when we act, we feel better, even if it puts us in a little bit of discomfort. Because frankly, even doing 10 minutes of taxes was, I don't like it. It wasn't enjoyable, but it wasn't so bad. That's the intentional discomfort that I'm talking about. And I felt tons better afterwards. It's the integrated exercise that I do. By the way, I'm up to 17 push-ups, 17 squats every hour. I'm doing 7 pull-ups every hour on Sundays. I'm growing in minuscule ways, but I'm growing. And it's a little bit of intentional discomfort, but definitely not to balance out any problem. It's easy as pie. It's the easiest thing in the world. I got no hang-ups about that system. Okay. Now, I talked about habit last week, and I wanted to jump in a little bit about that this week as well, just because of this. And this came up today. This came up earlier today when I was typing my notes on the pot on for this week's episode, and I was hanging out with my wife in the kitchen, and I came home a little bit early from work, so I was typing it up, and we were chatting. And I was going to do a fruit-only day today, and I've up to this point done fruit-only, and it's like 6:30 at night. But she's making some roasted vegetables and some quinoa. It sounded really good to me, so I'm just going to do it. But we had the weekend that I have typically where I let loose a little bit on the food thing, and you've heard this a million times, so I won't belabor the point. But I've been using Mondays to sort of dial it back down. I'm not going to say cleanse because it's not a cleanse. I just dial it back down mentally. It's like, okay, kind of let loose a little bit, and I'm going to sort of dial it back down. I'm not restricting any calories. I'm not restricting any portion sizes. I'm just eating until I'm full. In fact, I'm like super full right now, okay? Because I ate a bunch of grapes while I was typing the notes. But I did say to her, I'm not going to do a fruit-only day. I'm going to eat the dinner, but I don't want dessert tonight. I know right now that I don't want dessert tonight, okay? That's what I know. I know that I don't want dessert. Now, the dessert I would probably have would be relatively healthy comparatively. All I could justify it in 4,000 different ways, but the fact is I don't want it. Why? Because I overate a little bit over the weekend and kind of had a few beers and, you know, was like, I want to sort of dial it back down. So I want to take one day where either I do all fruit or I sort of just come back to baseline. Now, what I've recommended to lots of people is how you communicate this to your partner. And it's very, very important to listen to what I'm saying. I think I've said it even in the last 20 episodes, so I'll whip through it right now. But make sure when you ask your partner to help you in this way, or somebody, it could be a sister, parent, whatever, friend, make sure that you don't have them tell you what to do or not to do. Ask them to simply repeat what you ask them. So in other words, my wife isn't going to say, don't eat dessert, or you shouldn't eat dessert. She's going to say simply, you told me to tell you you didn't want dessert. Have them quote you back. That's it. Have them quote you back. You can't argue with them about that. You can't say, no, I didn't, because you did. And you know it. So she'll say to me, if I start talking about dessert and how I can justify it, and well, I ran this morning, blah, 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 even though I did trampoline, but whatever. She'll say, okay, that's fine. You told me that you didn't want dessert. That's all I ask from her. Just because it flips me into awareness, I can then make a choice about it. I have the freedom to change my mind. But the fact of the matter is, I just know that I don't want it. I want one day where I don't have something heavy like that. Because I know what I would have for dessert. Okay, that freaking brilliant peanut butter chocolate chip thing that I talked about. It's the best dessert in the world. Okay. But what I was thinking about is, so then she said, well, you know what, we'll just make a pot of tea later. And it got me thinking, and I've thought about this before, so I'm going to mention it here. There is the habit of the food that we eat, the foods we're used to eating. In this case, let's say this dessert that I talked about, okay? That's the habit of when I get dessert, I get that thing, I like it for however long that takes. But over that, there is that actual bigger habit of consumption itself. This is what I want to talk about, the habit of consumption. It's not... yes, it's the particulars of the food we eat, but on top of that, it's also the fact that we consume all the time. I mean, we're either, and this is we being me, totally. I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now. I had grapes when I was typing my notes. I had pears and bananas on the way home. I had some of those earlier on. I had a half a cantaloupe before I left. I mean, it's like all day I'm consuming. We are consuming so much. And by the way, it isn't necessarily just food. It's consumption of entertainment. It's consumption of texting. It's consumption of reading. It's consumption of, you know, a whole bunch of stuff, and food as well. We have the habit of consumption. We are consuming things. We're not sitting still kind of listening to our thoughts. We're consuming. So what I mentioned last week of, you know, replacing that middle section, you've got your trigger, you've got your habit, and then you've got your reward. One of the things that the tea, and this does work a lot, by the way, I'll be editing tonight. I'm going to be editing the podcast. And usually I would be eating this thing, but sipping tea actually does deliver that thing. Like, it does give me joy to have something to do again. Why is that? Why do I need something to do? What do I need to have keep my hands busy? All this kind of stuff. I don't know. I don't care. I've stopped caring about that stuff. I really have. I really want to be as transparent as I always am. Do I think there's certain value in finding out why for some people? Absolutely. And I've done that searching on myself too. But at this point in my life, I just don't give a crap anymore. I've stopped giving a crap about the why. I only give a crap about who I truly am and how to get closer to that person. That's it. I don't give a crap about why I think I need to keep my hands busy. I'll tell you something right now that I'm not joking. It's very difficult for me to tell you, but I was responding to a listener's email, and she talked about biting her nails. Now, you have any idea who this person is, and it's all comp, you know, like whatever. I share these stories, but you won't never know. I'll never tell you who this person is. And all I'll tell you is that's sort of neither here nor there. I'm a nail biter and have been my whole life. This is something that is embarrassing for me. It's something I don't like about myself. I have done it my entire life. I know that there are certain things when I was a kid that I can look back to and go, you know, nervousness and stress and all these kinds of things. What it has evolved into is... when I'm not just stressed, but when I'm really focused on something. So like when I was writing my book, I'd be sitting in bed like at 2 in the morning. I mean, it was, talk about taking on more than you know, I had never written a book before. So I was like, I'll deliver it. What's the deadline? No problem. The next thing I know, I'm just like, holy crap. And so 2 a.m, I'd be sitting there in bed. My wife's sound asleep and I'm in the dark and I'm writing and I'm just chewing nails, like just chewing the nails. Okay. I haven't bitten my nails in months. This is the longest. Right now, I'm in the middle of the longest stretch where I have not bitten my nails. And it's not a struggle. And here's why. What I did was, again, applied my own practice to this habit. I've tried everything. I've tried the painting of the stuff that doesn't taste good. I've tried the snapping of the rubber band. I don't like those stuff because snapping the rubber band is that I'm somehow doing something bad. It's not, to me, it's not recognizing the very, very real role that nail biting has played in my life. And this, speaking, by the way, I haven't really gotten off topic here because I'm talking about the use of hands, the use of keeping busy through consumption. Nail biting has served me a real purpose. It's a dissipation of stress. It's a thing that I can do when I have been. It's what I learned. It's the, and why I don't give a crap where it came from, because it just could be 1,000 other things. It just happens to be the thing that I got. But if you look at my nails right now, and go ahead and look, it's fine. Look, see? Yeah, good. Okay, good. They're not bitten. They look good. They look healthy. I mean, I have healthy nails. I eat really well. So of course, that's how you get healthy nails. But then I would bite them. But I don't bite them. Why is that? Because here's what I did. I introduced a step, which is that I said to myself, I'm going to keep biting my nails when it happens. I don't care. It's whatever. But now, in the short term, I'm going to take a deep, every time I look at my nails or go to bite my nails, I'm going to take a deep breath. Why? Because I recognize that it was about the dissipation of stress. That's what I was getting from nail biting. If I make it about nail biting, I'm missing the big picture, which is this habit of keeping myself busy, of having something to do with my hands, of somehow that this has become the dissipation of stress. So every time I looked at my hands, I would take a deep breath. Guess what happened? I relaxed. I became more aware in the moment. And when I relaxed and came more aware in the moment, I stopped biting my nails. Not because I tried to, not because I snapped myself and made myself feel pain every time I punish myself for doing a thing that I learned 40 years ago. How fair is that? The body's like, geez, you've been doing this. Not my freaking fault. So don't snap my skin, guy. My body calls me guy. It's a nickname. And so we have become so used to consuming in the modern world, so used to consumption. We're used to consuming particular things. We have those habits and nostalgia and ritual of what we consume. Fine. But I'm talking about, most of us are used to just consume. We're doing something. We're keeping ourselves busy all the time. So tea, for instance, is a solution for me tonight. It will be. My wife goes, I'm going to brew a pot of tea. That will go like, okay, well, I can do that. I'm not kidding. Look, it happens in my brain. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe everybody listening to me around the world right now is just like, holy crap, that doesn't happen to me. That guy's weird. I'm going to send back my t-shirt because that's just, he's weird. But what I'm doing is essentially this kind of thing, which is we can, in one respect, we can small step into less consumption. That's for sure. We can small step over time into less consumption. That's true. We can eat less calories over time. We can spend more time meditating and less, sitting, doing nothing or hanging out and less time doing other things. That's all fine. But don't discount the stopgap measure of changing what we consume while still keeping intact the habit of consumption. That's what I've done, and that's what I'll do tonight. But not every night. It's what it is. It's my own balance. And that leads me to my next subject, which is, I was thinking about this, which is the just right. I almost called it like the Goldilocks principle, like too hot, too cold, just right. When I talk about people, and I make broad sweeping generalizations about people. Why? Because I find that in most cases, human beings are very similar in these big picture things, how they want to live, if they want to be happy, that their bodies are trying to be healthy. That's for sure. Our bodies are trying, I'm going to get that in a second, but they're trying to figure a balance, or trying to get to a balance. These all, we need the same nutrients essentially, maybe different amounts, but we're all made of the same stuff. We all need certain things to function well. Okay. the just right is one of the only things, the few things that is highly individualized. Now, I touched upon this last week when I was talking about raw versus cooked food and sort of how we've created this modern, unnatural modern world such that cooked food plays a very real role and has a very strong need for this. But the balance of that, the balance of what is just right for you with how much raw versus cooked you eat, how much fruit versus vegetables you eat, how much exercise you do, how much socializing you do. All these things are, we need healthy food and we need to move our bodies. We need to socialize. We need to do creative pursuits to do what? To be happy and to live well in the modern world. That's what I believe. We don't have to do them, but if we don't, we're going to suffer consequences for not doing these things. But again, we can do all those things too much. We can socialize too much. We can exercise too much. We can eat too much healthy food. Yes, I've said it before and I'll say it again, because I believe, and this is going to sound nutty nut nut coming from a nutritionist, I think there's a certain place for light box foods. I think that junk food has a place in the modern world, because I think it's unfair to say, okay, I'm going to do a ton of unnatural stuff. I'm going to take Tylenol and I'm going to get into a car and drive, and I'm going to turn on my air conditioning when I just feel a little bit too warm, and I'm going to turn on my heater when I feel a little bit too cool, and I'm going to text somebody on a little box that's electric that sends signals through the freaking air. Okay. I'm going to do all those things totally unnatural. I'm going to wear shoes. I'm going to, you know, I can go on forever. But in the food realm, no, I'm sorry, 100%. I'm going 100% there. Well, I think that that's leading you, the royal you, to a certain imbalance. I think that you're setting yourself up for imbalance. I think when you take the heat and the importance off of one thing and say, okay, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I do that's unnatural. So let me see how I can apply something that's more natural to all of those things. Me bringing a little more exercise if you're not doing it enough, dialing it back down if you're doing it too much. Same thing with socializing, same thing with healthy foods. Now, your life, again, here's what's individualized. Your life might be that you are a professional athlete and that your life, you have organized it in a way that you eat healthy food and a very strict diet all the time. 100%, let's say 100% of the time. I'm assuming I can see a situation where that would totally work for somebody because it's their job and they love what they do and it doesn't cause them stress. And so that works for them, and that's how that is individualized. But for many people living in the modern world with all the things that we do that are unnatural, I think that there's a place for having fun food, having a beer, if that's what does it for you. Now, obviously, people can drink too much and it becomes a problem, right? There's the too much. Okay, so again, what's individualized is what is your just right? About what? What is your just right? Because obesity is over, obviously it's too much. Anorexia, that's the other side of that thing, too thin. Too much raw food, too much cooked food. Where does that sit for you? How do you know? I'm going to get into that in a second. How do you know is what you're freaking told. Okay, good, but I'm not getting there yet. All right. Calibration. Now, I mentioned calibration a lot. I'm going to touch on it real quick right now. We are our MOT, our most of the time. If you're just joining me, MOTT, most of the time. What we are, how healthy we are, how happy we are is a result of what we do most of the time. Okay? What we do. Now, again, that most of the time may not be our just right. That most of the time may be too much or too little of all these things, in which case it's what we put the too much or too little on there, fine, but it's an imbalance and we'll know it because we're not living as well as we want to live. Fine. It comes down to the balance that the body is trying to achieve. I mean, notice that when we live in a hot area, I lived in Houston, Texas for 4 years. I went to high school in Houston, Texas. I delivered pizza, that was my job, in a non-air conditioned car in the summer. Non-air conditioned car in the summer in Houston, Texas, which if you're not living in the United States, it's Houston, Texas. There's no other way to describe it. Super hot. Hottest pizzas on the earth. My pizzas would arrive on fire. They would arrive on fire. It's the kind of hot that you can't touch your steering wheel. I'll just put it that way. Okay. But guess what your body does? It adjusts the best it can. It will hit its moment and hit its balance the best that it can. People who live in hot climates get used to hot climates. People who live in cold climates get used to cold climates. I'm now so much more used to cold. I ran a run on Saturday with Sid, 7.5 mile trail run. Awesome, lot of elevation. You know, whatever. In short sleeves, it was 46 degrees. Now it was 46, 20 degrees. No, but it's on the cooler side. But it's done now. People live in LA. I have friends in LA. It'd be 46 temperatures, freezing for people. So again, you adjust, you calibrate. You calibrate to how much fat is in your diet day to day. You calibrate to how much sugar, carbohydrates in your diet day to day. You calibrate to how much protein is in your diet day to day, such that when you make abrupt change, when you go from eating meat three times a day, and which has a ton of protein in it. Why? Because it has a ton of calories in it. Again, I talked about this a few back, so go back. But spinach has more protein, but it's so much less caloric that most people don't eat a ton of calories of spinach at one time. But if your body calibrates to how to create its energy based on the levels of protein, fat, and carbohydrate, what you do most of the time, and it's learned how to sort of live the best way it can, because that's what it will always do. It's brilliant that way. Based on what you do most of the time, when you make abrupt changes there, you'll feel it. You don't feel well. That's when people go, well, I tried to give up meat, but I felt horrible. Of course you did, because you made an abrupt change and your body's like, you changed something up super fast. It's going from, I live in Texas, you know, in the summer, and I've been living there for 10 years, and I get into an airplane and I show up in somewhere where it's 10 degrees outside. It's going to be freaking miserable because your body hasn't calibrated. But over time, you'll calibrate and you'll get used to just like doing what you do every day in the cold, shoveling snow. And it's like, if people do that, we look at that and go, oh my God, I can't believe they do that. It's normal. Normal for them, because that's their normal. So again, recalibrate. But don't, I've said this, I think I said this a long time ago, but a heroin addict is calibrated to heroin. When that heroin addict gives up heroin on one given day, just stops doing heroin, they're going to feel horrible. But that doesn't mean heroin's good for them. It just means their body has calibrated to that thing. The body has learned to negotiate its world in that circumstance. We need to understand and really assess whether that circumstance is good for us or not. So the heroin addict probably would say, maybe hypothetically, heroin's not good for me. And so when I change it and I realize that I feel horrible, I don't fool myself into saying heroin must be good for me, because when I was doing that, I felt better than I feel now. Okay. Now, again, this is coming down to the intentional discomfort. First and foremost is that sort of background of understanding, like when I eat Twinkies or when I eat, you know, chicken or meat or fish and turkey three or four times a day, and the next day I don't, why do I feel bad? Well, because you've calibrated. It has no bearing on nutritional per se. It's that you are calibrated. Now you're doing something starkly different. Okay. Just to be aware of that. And again, am I advocating making stark changes? Of course not. So I wouldn't, if you were my client, I wouldn't tell you to stop eating all that stuff every day. I'd tell you to leave that alone and let's start bringing in other stuff. That's how I roll. Because when you make that stark of a change and you feel that backlash of the body being in total disarray, that's the thing that will motivate you to, or on some level, to just return to what you were doing before, because it's less comfortable. I mean, less discomfortable, uncomfortable. Look, I can get a thesaurus. There's three different ways of saying it and one way correctly. Uncomfortable. Okay. Last thing I'm going to talk about before I jump in on this week's subject. I had a very interesting moment on that trail run that I mentioned with my trail partner, Sid. We went on a really good run. She's taking me on all these runs, and this was a new one. And there was a hill that was brutal. It was, she's kept warning me that it was coming. And when it hit, I was like, holy crap, it was really steep, like super steep. There was a moment on that hill where I had a very interesting moment during this moment. I'm just going to say moment five more times. Here was the moment. I was at the same time, I felt this feeling that I could run. If I wanted to, I could have run. I could have run up this hill at least a good part of that way. I had energy. I was feeling good. And then at the same time, so I was happy about that. I was like, well, I could freaking run this hill. I'm feeling really good. Same time, happy that I wasn't running it. I had this very interesting moment where I felt happy that I could do it, but happy that I wasn't doing it. How cool. Here's why. Happy that I could because I feel fit. It means I'm not pushing myself. It means I'm not doing too much exercise or too little. I'm feeling good. I'm recovering. I don't have soreness. Happy that I wasn't because it wasn't taking into consideration my entire life and this action without really even thinking about it. And here's why I didn't run it. You might be going, well, why didn't you run it if you could? I was running with Sid. Totally fun. I'm not training for anything. No real need. I had no time constraint. I wasn't trying to hurry. And I got other stuff to do besides that run. So while I could have run it, I probably would have been more, I definitely would have been more tired, probably would have been a little bit sore, definitely could have gotten through it. But that's one of the things that I had to do that day or wanted to do that day. One of the things was to hang out with my kids. So in that very, very quick moment, I had this feeling, this positive feeling of being in control of my life. You know, I've said that's what I help people do. I help people take control of their lives. This is what that is. I was fit enough to do it and happy enough not to. That's pretty cool. That's a win for me to say, I'm not doing it this day. Another day I may, but on that day I didn't because there was a whole bunch of stuff going on there that I on the balance. And this was not a big conscious, I didn't have to sit down with a freaking notepad to figure this out. It was a 2 seconds. I looked at myself and went, this is kind of cool. I could run right now. I'm not gonna. Felt totally good about that. Felt totally good about not doing it at the same time. Pretty cool, right? Okay. Glad you agree. Let's get into this subject of this week. Okay. The title of this episode is What We're Told, What We Hear. A lot of what I talk about with people, with clients too, and with you guys on this podcast is, in a sense, the conflict or the disconnect between what we're told and what we hear. That comes from what we tell ourselves and what we hear, but it comes from also but what people tell us versus what we hear. So I want to speak on a couple things on this subject. The strength of my small step approach, the strength of my small step approach lies in the process by which we determine the size of our own step, because it is in this process that we discover more about ourselves and we become stronger and more self-confident and have greater self-esteem in this process. Yes, it's also about breaking down a behavior into small, doable steps, et cetera, et cetera. But the strength of my approach lies in the process by which we assess the size of our steps. We assess how things are going. We remove the judgment of I'm a bad person, I'm a good person. Again, what we're told, what we hear. It is getting to the point where we can be more open to what we probably already know and believe about ourselves. And there's a conflict when somebody tells you, you look fantastic, but you don't believe that, that's conflict. And when we're told that, we can fake ourselves to say, well, I must look great then because that person told me. But what I've really found is that we actually want to think that about ourselves. What I'm getting at is this. What we believe, you can quote me on this, okay? What we believe about ourselves is stronger than any opinion of someone else. What we believe about ourselves is stronger than anybody else's opinion about us. It is this fact of life that we can surround ourselves with somebody who tells us we look fantastic. If we don't believe we look fantastic, they can tell us that for 1,000 times and we're never going to actually believe them. And we will expend so much energy trying to believe them or trying to say, I really must. And that's, to me, it's wasted time. To me, it is wasted expenditure. What we're told, what we hear. How much we internalize what we're told, what we tell ourselves. Of course I look great. The thing is you, if you don't believe that, it doesn't matter what you even tell yourself. I can, like I said, with this dessert thing, I can walk out of this podcast tonight. I can convince myself in 3 seconds to have that dessert. Why? Because I'm thin, I'm fit, I run well, etc. I can go through a whole other, I eat really, really well most of the time. I can have a treat. I had a hard day at work. I mean, there's a 1,400 things I can tell myself. But the fact is, if I have it, I know enough now that I will regret it. I want to have, because there's a bigger picture at play for me, which is that I want to be strong enough to not do stuff sometimes. That feels good to me. That's not restriction. Again, not restriction for me. I want to feel strong enough to not do stuff once in a while, to know that I don't have to, that I can get on top of this, that I can be in control of my life. The importance of what we're told versus what we know or think is, if it's different from that, if what we know or think about ourselves is different from what we're told, ultimately we're going to hear what we believe. We're told something, but what we hear is what we believe. And again, over time, this small step process that I lay out, my system of this, is to get you to the point where what you're told is what you hear, is together. It's congruent. It makes sense. You're told you look great and you believe you look great. That's all in. It's removing the conflict. It is getting to a place of honesty and openness where you're actually okay. Somebody tells you you look great. You go, thank you. But you also acknowledge that you really don't think you look great. Fine, fine. Then you're not a bad person because of it. That you have work that you want to do, that you want to have put yourself in a little bit of intentional discomfort to get yourself to the point where you do believe that about yourself. And just no wasted time of like, well, I guess I don't have to do anything about my life because that person says that I'm great. It's what you believe about yourself. How do you change what you believe about yourself? By showing yourself what you're capable of. That's how you change those things about yourself. Showing yourself what you're capable of. Showing yourself that if you don't believe you look great, that starting today, you can take acts to make yourself feel better about your body. I'm very sensitive about this whole thing of like, you're beautiful no matter what. I think that means crap if you don't believe that about yourself. There's curvy, look, there's health. I don't even want to get really much into with my clients into this whole system thing of like, you know, body image and all these kinds of things. I think that we know when we feel good in our bodies, I think we know that. I think that beauty is determined by media. I think that's a problem. But at the same time, I don't think that you think you're beautiful no matter what. I think that there's a health and a balance in the human body. And when we're out of balance, being too thin or too fat, I think we feel not good about that. I think that we feel more in line when our minds and bodies are more in line. I think it's about the health of the human body. I think beauty is a healthy body. I don't care if you have the perfect shape body. When somebody looks healthy and vibrant, it's amazing. It's amazing. And one of the things that I wanted to just throw out there was, and this is getting into rough ground, okay? Do I think that you should feel crappy about yourself if you're overweight? Of course not. Of course not. What I think is you should do the work and the small step ways to take on your life. Take on your life to say, I'm totally able to do this. Why? Because I just got up this morning, drank a glass of water. That's me. I freaking me. You start being you. If you're not happy with the way you look, it's because you're not living who you already are, which is you're a thin, healthy person. You're a fit, strong, energetic, healthy person. That's who you are right now. So, okay, good. What would a person like that do? Okay, well, a person like that would maybe take a glass of water. Okay, that's going to be my step. What size? Okay, well, here's what I can do right now. Okay, good. I'm going to do that right now. One glass of water per day. Boom. I'm just taking control of my life. That took 15 seconds, that conversation. And I could drink a glass of water in another 10 seconds, and I've done the act. So there's 20 seconds or 25 seconds where you've just taken an act that is all you. And you go, oh, holy crap, I can do that. Let me start there. Good to know. How do you get yourself to a place where you are open to really hearing what you're already telling yourself, what you already know, despite of what we're told? Because again, we can surround ourselves with a bunch of yay, yes, yes people. You're brilliant. You're this, you're that, you're that. It doesn't mean squat if you don't believe it. Put your energy into making yourself believe and be the things that people are telling you. One of the things I wanted to just throw out there was exploring your own worth. This is, again, this is sensitive stuff here, because I'm not talking about bad person, good person, that whole thing. You're a bad person. He's a bad person. Who's a bad person? Jeez. I mean, there's very few people. I hate that term. But when we small step, when people I work with on a private basis, when we get there to this place, you can ask yourselves these kinds of questions without judgment, because you know who you, once you know who you truly are, the things that you do in conflict with that, it's sort of like, okay, but it's not me, right? It's the power. I have gotten more feedback about the me, not me game than virtually anything else I have ever done. Why? Because it tells people what they already know, which is that crap isn't you. Not a game. It's not BS. It's just not you. And when you realize that, you go, okay, well, so I can just start peeling away that stuff. That's the best thing ever. Then you can ask these questions. And honestly, over time, don't even ask yourself now necessarily. Would you hire yourself? Would you date yourself? Would you marry yourself? Would you be sexually attracted to yourself? We can get mad about our relationship and in the sexual realm even, but we can also ask these questions and say, well, what? It's an uncomfortable question to ask, and people don't even want to ask it, but like, we get mad because we haven't found a partner. But I think asking that question, are you the partner you want to be? Are you the person that would attract the person you want to be attracted to? Are you the kind of person that your ideal person would be attracted to? I think that's an excellent question. Just don't ask it right now. But I think through the process of getting to know yourself via my approach, that we get to the point where we can start asking those questions in very much the same way that we can start playing the me, not me game and going, oh, when I did that, that wasn't me. And when I did that, that was me. There you go, for people just joining the podcast. I got there. That takes just that game, by the way, you're strong. People don't play that game. They don't even want to look at their lives, or they don't have to, not want to. Most people don't have the time. If you take 30 seconds or a minute per day and play a little bit of the me, not me game, don't go through your whole day. Go through you up till 10 a.m. and go, okay, well, that was me and that wasn't me. I got up, I didn't have any water, I was in a hurry, and I got in my car at the expense of my own health and hydrating myself. Not me. Not me. Well, who am I? Well, I'm a person that I can be in a hurry, but I don't sacrifice my own happiness. That's me. And I'm a happy person. That's me. That's who I truly am. Well, I haven't been living that way. But if I want a partner, I want somebody who is attracted to somebody who's happy and healthy and fit and vibrant, who wants to do cool stuff. Well, I'm not doing that right now. So I'm going to start the process of becoming more of that. It's amazing what we attract and who we're attracted to. Are you attracted to somebody based on who you are, or are you attracted to somebody based on how you've been living? Those can be two very different things, you guys. Are we eating the food based on who we are, or are we eating the food based on how we've been living? Are we exercising based on who we are, or are we exercising based on how we've been living? How do we get to the point where we can ask ourselves the questions, where we can tell ourselves things about ourselves that match up to what we actually believe? Can we tell ourselves, I'm not perfect, I don't give a crap about perfection, I don't even know what that means, but I'm doing the best I can right now? That can be a fact. Right now, and we can believe it, and we can create these things in our lives that we actually believe. So cool. I'm perfect. Well, nobody, don't tell yourself you're perfect because you don't believe it, because nobody's perfect. So why would you even put that out there? Don't tell somebody else they're perfect, because we don't even know what perfect is. We throw that word around. Doesn't exist. But tell yourself, I'm doing the best I can today. Tell yourself, I'm taking control of my life in a way that isn't going to cause me great stress and pain, that isn't going to cause me great upset. I'm starting to take control of my life. Tell yourself that. And you believe it when you small step. You believe it. I'm somebody who eats healthy food every day. Tell yourself that when you put one slice of cucumber on your plate, because you do. Now all of a sudden, what you're told and what you hear, same thing. Because sometimes what you're told is, you're a very healthy person, but what you hear is, in your brain, is, I'm not healthy, I'm stupid, I'm fat, I mean, all the things from our youth. Most of the time, what we hear is that stuff, is the stuff that we have come to believe about ourselves before we ever ask the question. what we're told versus what we hear. We hear in our minds, I'm fat, I'm stupid, I'm weak, I'm a chicken, you know what? I should swear in this podcast. Should I swear? Raise your hands. The last thing I wanted to touch upon in this subject is this. Oftentimes, the things in our bodies that occur are things that we're told that our bodies are telling us, but we're hearing different things. And I want to be clear about this too. The ills of the modern world are profound. We are suffering from cancer, diabetes, heart disease, stroke, Alzheimer's. We're suffering from autoimmune diseases like type 1 diabetes, Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis. We're suffering from digestive problems, irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. We're overweight. We're too thin. We have headaches. We have backaches. We have joint aches. We have diabetes. And we have diabetes and we go, okay, diabetes, it's blood sugar too much. My blood sugar is too high. Okay, but we don't ask the question of what is the body really telling us? Is it telling us stop eating sugar or is it telling us I can't do my job with the stuff you're eating? I can't get the sugar out of the bloodstream. Oftentimes more about diabetes is the inability of the insulin to do its job. So we focus on the sugar, but we're not focusing on the fact that we don't have a situation in, and by the way, this is fully related to chronic stress, of allowing the hormones in the body, insulin being one of them, to be in a good balance for them to do their jobs for a whole host of reasons. It's way beyond just one little thing. Autoimmune diseases aren't the body telling us that the immune system is too much on fire. It's weak. It's too weak. It's too strong. I mean, it's too weak. It's too overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed. We need to strengthen it. We don't need to squash it. We go on immunosuppressants when we have immune diseases, autoimmune diseases. That's the immune system attacking its own tissue. We go on things that will suppress, sometimes chemotherapy, immunosuppressants. That's not what the body's telling us. The body's telling us, I got too much on my plate right now. I can't make good decisions. Can you help me make better decisions? Digestive problems, same things. We feel the gastric reflux. We take the Tums, the antacid. The body is telling you, I can't digest the food very well. I need to be able to do my job better. Can you help me? When we actually get to the point where we listen to these things, we can make better choices about how we treat ourselves in the moment. We oftentimes feel the headache and we get the Tylenol or we get the ibuprofen. We are sore and achy and we go for the run anyway because we pop an ibuprofen and we feel that pain and we go, oh, I must just need an ibuprofen because I'm in pain. I feel inflammation, so I gotta do an anti-inflammatory on that. Well, why? What is your body trying to tell you? What is your body actually trying to tell? It's trying to talk to you. You're not listening. You're not listening. You're hearing that you want to go for a run and you're going to do whatever it takes to go for a run and you're not listening to what you're being told so crystal clear that it couldn't be clear, but you're shutting your ears off to what is going on in your life. When you overweight, it's not about calories. It's not about diet. It's not about going on a diet. It's not about going on a cleanse. It's a body saying, I'm trying to tell you something here. I'm under chronic stress and I can't do my job well. And what if we heard that? What if we heard that fat around your midsection is about chronic stress, food being one of the factors in that? What if we got to the point where we actually heard that and said, oh, okay, so I'll tackle that for myself. Yeah, via diet. You know, via not dieting, but via food, sure, but also via socializing and via exercise and all this multi-pronged approach that I talk about all the time. Can we get to the point where we hear what we're told? Where we hear what we're told? Where we're open enough and honest enough and strong enough to hear what we're told? That's the question. And I believe that we are. I believe we can. I mean, that's the uncomfortableness, talk about intentional discomfort, of me talking about my nail biting, which as a 46-year-old man is frankly embarrassing. But the fact is I really believe that I've gotten on top of it, and it's been many, many months now. Not to say I'll never do it again, I don't know, but right now there's no problems. But part of that was getting to the point where I could hear what I was being told with this, which is that I need something to dissipate, do something with my hands. I need to dissipate the stress. When I'm focused and sort of under stress, I need something that's better for me to do. I was able to finally listen to that and go, I've tried all the other tricks. all the bells and whistles to try to do this. But the fact is, I'm not listening enough. What I need is to dissipate stress. That's what I need. I was under stress. And when I took pains to do that, then I was able to get on top of the habit itself. What we're told, what we hear. So I'll end by telling you this, and I hope you hear me. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not doing everything right every day. You're not 100% yourself. You're not 100% natural. Neither am I. But here's the truth. You are strong enough to take action in your life. I'm just not going to tell you how big or small, but you're strong enough to take action. That's a fact. You may not hear what I'm telling you, but stick with me, okay? You are powerful enough to take control of your life. Again, I ain't going to tell you about amounts. I'm just telling you the facts of what I know. That when you small step into your life, when you make the decision that you want to improve aspects of your life, that that decision is the power and the strength that everybody has. And I'll just finish by telling you that. That you're listening to this podcast because on some level you do believe that. You believe that there's something you want to change, number one, and number two, that there's something you can do about it. Why else would you look for a podcast? Even if this is the first episode you've heard of me, why would you turn this on if you think it's impossible and there's nothing you can do about it? You know that there is. You know that deep down. It's just, is there a way to make it as effective as possible? I think my way is the best way. I think my way is 100% the best way. You can disagree with me, but this is what I believe. Until I find something better, this is it. All right, you guys, I'm leaving with that. Join me next week, episode 104 of the Approaching the Natural Podcast. This is Sid Garza-Hillman signing off. Keep the emails coming. podcast@sidgarzahillman.com is how you reach me if you have any questions or have any guest ideas. I'm always open to that stuff. You guys are awesome. I love hearing from you. I got a few more emails. I'm just going to keep saying it because I think people feel like, oh, yeah, but no, I really do. You have no idea what that does for me when I get an email saying that this has affected somebody in a positive way. It's just a whole nother world. Okay? I'll be back next week, you guys. In the meantime, be well. But
every moment is a voice, and always, always a question, always the question is this all that there is? And I am looking in the glass and seeing a bit of a whiner and a bit of a fly. And all this looking's got me praying without a shred of belief. And it's pointing me outward, it's pointing me outward in the opposite direction. And I'm accepting my fate, and I'm accepting my fate as a bit of a whiner and a bit of a fly, as a bit of a whiner